Sorry. So yes, this common practice research came out of the Disclosure Initiative project originally. IS-19 is one of the standards that the board select to test their draft guidance on developing disclosure sections. And so we initiated the common reporting practice to inform that and assess whether we can improve the taxonomy. The approach we've taken to this common practice research is that we'll be proposing making changes in a 2020 update, IFRS taxonomy, but we'll be looking to only address common practice issues that we think are related to disclosures that are likely to be unaffected by the proposed amendments to IRS-19. And we'll provide the rest of our feedback to the board to go into their considerations on the drafting of those proposed changes to IRS-19. So we have some suggestions for defined benefit plans, some of which were discussed at the last ITCG meeting, for which we'll have some follow-up and a few extras. Paragraph 142 of IS-19 requires an entity to disaggregate the fair value of their plan assets into classes of assets. That's currently modelled in the IFRS taxonomy through a bunch of monetary line items. The board's not planning to make major changes to this, though we expect that the entities will continue to disclose information in a similar way. And we've also found that many entities provide percentage disaggregations, which we proposed at the last ITCG meeting that we would add line items to cover that disclosure. That was generally agreed with, but there are some questions asked that I'd like to cover now. One was how companies that provided that percentage disaggregation would be able to tag a further disaggregation into quoted and quoted those with quoted market prices and those without. And we suggest here that the level of fair value hierarchy axis should be used to support this tagging. And the other question was whether a dimensional approach rather than a line item approach to the disaggregation might make more sense. And there was some follow-up research done on that. We found that companies did commonly use a line item modeling approach to tag their disaggregations, even in the percentage sections where they did extensions. And although some others did use a line item modeling approach, but then a dimensional model for finer disaggregation. We're proposing to keep the current line item modeling approach because that was the more common approach that people used. We felt it would be impractical to really include taxonomy elements for all the kinds of subclasses of plan assets entities could use, because they rapidly became quite entity specific. And that this option of mixing a dimensional aggregate disaggregation is still there for people, where that's the most sensible idea. We didn't find any particular additional commonly disclosed class of assets, with the exception of one for insurance policies. IS-19 does require entities to recognise as plan assets insurance policies, but only those that satisfy the same conditions as other plan assets. It's not all insurance policies. So we propose to add a monetary line item that covers that specifically, as shown, and we'll do that for both monetary and percentage. So to recap, we intend to retain the existing line item modelling approach for the fair value plan assets, to create a new class of plan assets on qualifying insurance policies, and to add a set of line items paralleling those for the monetary items to allow the tagging in percentage format, which was generally agreed at the last meeting. So the first question here is, do you agree with those proposals? Or do you have any feedback or other comments?
Suzanne, would you like to ask your question, please?
Sure. But going back to slide 16, if you don't mind, it's the third bullet point, or it's the third hash point, so, or not hash, dash. It's the or in there that we're wondering about. If you could comment on what that really, what that means and what your preference is and how that sort of ties into the current line item, which is approach that you'd like to keep going. Like, what is the or then, the ramifications of that?
I think this ties into the how do you put extensions into their context in the taxonomy? How do you link them, as Rita was saying earlier? And here we're saying that there are two reasonable ways to do that linking. One is to use a dimension to disaggregate things. And the other one is to create extensions and anchor them. And that on this, we're not particularly upset either way. If there's a sensible axis to use, then dimensional disaggregation makes sense. If there isn't, then anchoring to these asset classes will probably be perfectly viable and will be a good way of linking things in.
So it's not about accidentally sort of encouraging the status quo where you've got two different ways of tagging it. It's going into the actual anchoring sort of portion of the story to have the dimensions and the line item approach.
I think it's when you get into the fine detail of these disaggregations,
okay,
different options might be most sensible, as long as they're put into context why one mechanism or another is happy.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions? So could we have an indication where people agree? Ashok, thank you. Peter, thank you. Any others? Dasuki, good. Ronald? Great. Thank you, people. Right, there's a lot of agreement. Owen, would you like to go on to the next section?
So now we'll move on to the newer information around the maturity profile of defined benefit obligations. Paragraph 147C of IS 19 requires them to disclose information about that. It says what information will be included, and it also includes an example of information that may be included. We found that companies did commonly disclose and tag information about the maturity analysis of benefit payments, and they did that in two main ways. One was through the use of extension elements, along with the maturity axis, and the other one was by using an existing IFRS taxonomy element, this one being the most commonly used one. We have some issues with that, however. We think that approach to using the existing monetary IFRS taxonomy element is misleading. That element is intended to be used to tag contributions into a plan and not contributions from a plan. So we propose to add an element to the IFRS taxonomy to allow companies to tag the maturity analysis of benefit payments using that dimensional approach, using the maturity axis for it. This is the way that people typically disclose that. The information is specified in the IS 19 example, but we do need an element, we think, for payments from the plan, which we propose to add. We propose to add that as a new table using existing maturity axis and that new line item. So do people agree with that, or are there issues that they think we should consider there?
Any comments for us? Question two, slide 30. Daisuke, would you like to comment, please?
Yes, I agree with this proposal, but maturity axis doesn't have the reference of IAS 19. So my comment is it need to add the reference of IAS 19. How do you think?
Owen, do you want to respond?
Yes, that makes sense. We could look to do that, given that we're going to be using it in this context.
Good. Thank you for the comment. Ling, do you have a question?
Yes. Owen, thank you. Thank you for the introduction. May I ask a question? Do you have an idea what did the equivalence in the U.S. GAAP taxonomy? In U.S. GAAP taxonomy, I think they are facing a quite similar problem.
Indeed, I'm afraid at this point is where I have to admit that I didn't actually do the original research of this. My colleague Aisha did. So I'm not completely sure is the answer. I don't know if any of the other team will be able to help.
Thank you, Alvin. Because why I concern this, because I think generally speaking, the U.S. GAAP taxonomy is more structured. They prefer to use more dimension. rather than use extendable line items. So I agree to the proposal of staff, and I just noted we need to do a little bit research on what the US GAAP taxonomy did. That's all. Thank you, Auburn. Thank you.
This is Donna. If you want me to chime in on the US GAAP, I think we discussed that at the January meeting about the fair value of plan assets. We use a dimensional approach, but it seems to be driven by how the guidance was written between the two standards. And as well on, you know, the current slide with the maturity axis and US GAAP, it's a very specific defined time bands of each year for the first 5 years and then 5 years after. So they are modeled as line items.
Yes, we're at the
thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Could we have an indication for people that agree with question two? Excellent, thank you very much. Owen, would you like to go on with the presentation, please?
So now we come to the proposed changes to the IFRS taxonomy for other plans, i.e. things that are not the defined benefit plans. IAS 19 only requires an entity to disclose the amount recognised and expense of defined contribution plans. It doesn't really require much more in the way of disclosure for them. The IFRS taxonomy element to tag this disclosure isn't in the presentation group on employee benefits. There's a line item in the analysis of income and expense presentation group. Companies we found commonly disclose a narrative information describing their defined contribution plan and report information about those plans under a separate subheading. So what we intend to do is to propose to create a new text block element to capture that kind of information for defined contribution plans that would support that text block tagging and allow people to find that data more easily. We would include the existing monetary element as a child of that text block so that you can tag that, the accounts of that information in there quite easily. We think we've got text block disclosures for all the related defined benefit plans and employee benefits other than this, so that would complete the set. Do people agree with that?
So Owen, are we on question four?
Question three, okay. Yes, I thought that would be fairly long.
Question three. Yes, and our members are using the chat line to indicate agreement. Okay. Right. I think you can go on, Owen. I don't think there's anybody indicating they would like to have further discussion on this one.
Okay. Post-employment benefit expenses, and particularly the total post-employment benefit expenses. Although the defined benefit plans and defined contribution plans are the most common types of post-employment benefits, paragraph 5B of IS 19 does state that there are other possible types of post-employment benefit plans and gives some examples such as insurance and medical care. We did find that this occasionally, certainly the total post-employment benefit expense was fairly commonly disclosed. So we proposed to add a few new elements relating to that. One, an element for the total, which is commonly reported in practice, and a sort of an other element to complete the logical breakdown and to match up with that part of IS 19 that does indicate that there are other post-employment benefits. Do members think that that's a good arrangement? Do they have any comments on that or any other suggestions?
Now we're on question four. I've caught up with myself. Excellent. Thanks, everybody, for your feedback. A strong indication of agreement there. Owen? No questions coming through. No. Okay, we can move on. Oh, yes. No, stop, stop. Question from Anna. Yes, Anna.
Just for information, do we have any indications of how many companies would use such element?
We found that the total post-employment benefits, just declaring that as a line item, did meet our criteria for common practice. So that would be at least 10% of those people who were disclosing their the post-employment benefits. So that would be probably 10% of all companies. I'd have to check our original research to find out the actual numbers.
Okay, maybe we can speak. I'll just for curiosity. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Anybody else for a question? Okay. Owen, would you like to continue, please?
So then we will look at the other common reporting practice that we observed, but which we will not be proposing changes to the IFRS taxonomy as a result of. We found three areas of common practice reporting in relation to sensitivity analysis. That entities commonly quantify the change in their actuarial assumptions, mortality rates, and life expectancy after retirement in units of years. They provide a sensitivity analysis of their defined benefit expenses to changes in actuarial assumptions and to their defined benefit obligations to changes in assumptions in a percentage. All of these are not quite exactly what we've modelled in the taxonomy, either the structure or the units involved. However, in the targeted standard level review disclosures, the board has tentatively decided not to include specific disclosure objectives about sensitivity analysis on their defined benefit plans. As a result, we propose not to have any changes relating to that in the IFRS taxonomy update, because we suspect that when the standard is changed in the future, that reporting practice may well change. We have an existing text block that can cover that information for the moment in whatever format it's provided. Secondly, paragraph 147B of IAS 19 requires an entity to disclose expected contributions to the plan, but only for the next annual reporting period. That's the requirement. So we have an element that specifically refers to the next annual reporting period, the estimate of contributions expected to be paid to the plan for the next annual reporting period. What we found, however, was that companies commonly disclose and tag those expected contributions for periods longer than the next annual reporting period, i.e. they get a sort of projection into the future for them, a multi-year projection quite frequently. However, again, the board certainly decided that to recognise that entity might use different methods to provide information that satisfies disclosure objective on expected future cash flows for defined benefit plans. And those decisions at the moment are not referring to any particular period of time, in contrast to the current reference to the next annual reporting period. So we think that there might be a shift in disclosure practice here. We're not currently going to propose any changes based on this, on our observations at the moment, and we'll share the common practice finding that we've got with the board as feedback into their deliberations in this area. And then the third piece of common practice that we found was that IAS 19 only requires an entity to disclose the amount of those expensive defined contribution plans, just that amount. there's a line item to tag that, but we found that companies commonly disclose much more information about the amount contributed to defined contribution plan than is required. You can see an example there. However, the board has tentatively decided to include only a high-level catch-all disclosure objective for entities to disclose how the defined contribution plans affect their statements of performance and their cash flows, and not have a specific disclosure objective on these plans. So as a result, we're again proposing no changes to the taxonomy as a result of this observation of common reporting practice, but we will feed that back into the board's deliberations in this area. We, as previously said, we're going to have a tax block for defined contribution plans, which will allow you to add general information about defined contribution plans, but we don't intend to look at any more detail in that area. So our last question here is, are you happy with those proposals to not do anything about that common reporting because of the expectation that it might move when IS 19 is revisited? And have you observed any other common reporting practices on employee benefits that you think we ought to be looking at?
Christine, could we hear your question, please?
Sure. I'm curious about the expected future cash flows, the contributions to the plan. Obviously, you mentioned that this, you know, companies often disclose this. And is the reason that you're not including elements for the expected future cash flow because the board hasn't made it an explicit disclosure requirement?
Could I perhaps jump in there? It's Rachel here. I think this is around the fact that the board is saying that we have an objective to provide information about expected future contributions as part of our proposals in the targeted standards level review. But that leaves it open as to how entities actually go about selecting how they comply with that objective. And I think what we would expect to see is potentially a shift in the way in which entities seek to comply with that objective and see a change in the things that would be disclosed. So taking the common practice that we have today and saying, oh, well, that would be the common practice in the future, may not work. So adding some common practice elements today, they may very quickly become obsolete when we move on to the proposals that are included in the targeted standards level review. Okay. So it's not that that wouldn't be there as some sort of disclosure. It's just the format of that disclosure is likely to change as a result of our proposals.
Okay. And it may not necessarily be in this kind of like tabular format with each year.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Binla, would you like to ask your question, please?
Thank you, Anne. My question is not about this question five in particular, but I just would like to find out, because you have this common reporting project on IAS 19 is to inform the board about for their projects in terms of improve the way the board develop and draft the standard. I just would like to know if you have received any feedback or whether or not the board have shared with the staff about their early observation about how helpful this project is to their standard setting process. That's my question.
Should I perhaps respond to that one? And maybe Anne, you might be able to jump in with you from your perspective as a board member as well. I mean, the feedback that we've had so far has been, I think, that it is useful to think about electronic reporting as we're developing the standard. What we've found in the past is that the disclosure requirements, the standards, have been developed without necessarily thinking about how they would work in an electronic format. And by the time the taxonomy team gets to look at the proposals, it's actually too late, really, to influence the disclosures. Whereas the new approach that we're taking is thinking about the electronic reporting implications much earlier in the process and make it and giving the board the opportunity to incorporate them into the proposals as they develop them. And personally, I think it's really helpful. And I know that Anne is very helpful as well at the board meeting in terms of asking the staff, have you thought about the electronic reporting implications of what you're doing here? So my impression is that actually it is helpful and it is helping to ensure that electronic reporting is more, that our standards reflect the requirements of electronic reporting in a much better way than they have done in the past. But perhaps Anne, you have a perspective on that.
Yes, thanks, Rachel. I think there is a two-way thing going on because the board themselves are aware that the taxonomy staff do research now with the FPIs and can collect information that is relevant to the board thinking about the standards. And then the other way as well, that standards get written and there's a lot more awareness now of, well, if we're going to arrive at this requirement, what does it mean for taxonomy? And I might also refer to the discussion that went on in January where members of this committee were able to point out things that were highly relevant to standard setting because of the link between the standard setting and the taxonomy. And this was an issue that came up in January. It related to particular subtotals and totals. And it was pointed out to the board members and staff that unless we're actually requiring a particular total within the standard, it wasn't going to appear in taxonomy, even though that was something that the taxonomy, this committee could see would be important for users. So there is interchange going on. And I would encourage you as staff bring you the papers, if you can see things like that, we're very open to hearing from you. Right. We are now up to Suzanne. Thank you, Binla. We're up to Suzanne for her question.
First comment, it's just a wonderful development you and Rachel are talking about. I think it's great. I'm sure everybody does, not just me. My quick question actually goes back to Christine's question about the future contributions, if I may, just to clarify. So in this in-between time, then it would be they're being tagged with an extension, and it would be an extension that wouldn't have an anchoring point. Then it would be a standalone. Just to clarify that, if I could. Thank you.
I think at the moment what we would tend to see is either extensions, and those really ought to be probably anchored. Well, they can be anchored somewhere. I think the issue that we were considering really here was that estimate of contribution expected to be paid to the plan for the next annual reporting period, because it has that next annual reporting period in it, makes both dimensional extension and anchoring a little awkward. It's a bit, it doesn't quite represent the right thing. I think as a sort of, if we weren't going to do anything, you would probably expect to see people anchoring to that sort of by default, which might not be that helpful. But it's probably better than nothing. And indeed using the maturity axis maybe with that, which again works, but isn't quite semantically right.
Peter, would you like to ask your question?
Yeah, just a really quick one in terms of suggestions on other common reporting practices. We quite often see now DB plans and surplus, and things that I know regulators and auditors are keen to see is a piece of text explaining the basis for recognising surpluses as assets on the balance sheet. And from memory, there's no actual disclosure requirement per se to provide that from memory, but that's something that we often see and often look for in accounts. That's just a suggestion.
Okay.
We'll look into that.
And Lewis, you have something else you'd like to share with us about what you've observed for common reporting practice?
No, I was just agreeing with your comments earlier about the integration with standard setting and so forth. So that's all.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any more points for Owen and the staff here in relation to slide 50? Okay. Thank you very much, Owen. Perfect timing. Ashok, let's have a look. Ashok, did you have a question? Have I missed you? No.
No, John, he's okay. I found the answer. Thank you.
John, he's okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Owen. Thank you, everybody, for those comments. And we'll keep you informed on our work there. It's been a big piece of work on IS19 and our disclosure initiative.